Volume 1, The Symbolic Code, Number 16. The Symbolic Code News Items. Volume 1, October 15, 1935. Number 16, Waco, Texas. In the interest of the SDA denomination, Mount Carmel now honored with headquarters home. We are happy to announce that the headquarters office of the Sealing Message moved from Waco to Mount Carmel Center on September 29th to its new and permanent home location for the proclamation of the message of the true witness to the Laodiceans. Testimonies for the Church, Volume 3, page 253. Therefore, we request all the brethren in present truth to approach the throne of grace with thanksgiving and praises to our Heavenly Father for His merciful kindness and many blessings. May we be true to our trust so that our dear brethren who are in the Laodicean Sad Deception, Volume 3, pages 252-253, may be drawn to the light of present truth before it is too late, for thus saith the Lord. If the watchman seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet, and warn the people. Then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet, and taketh not warning, if the sword come, and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet, and took not warning, his blood shall be upon him. But he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. But if the watchman see the sword come, and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come, and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. So thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel, therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth, and warn them from me when I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt die. If thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Ezekiel 33:3-8. The buildings that were under construction being finished and ready for occupancy have brought a great relief to all of us, and by the 16th of this month, though very congested, Mount Carmel's subjects who immigrated from other states will be living on this holy mount. We are now laying the foundation for a training school building for those who wish to prepare themselves for the declaration of this final warning to God's dear church, and our prayers are that this building shall be finished without delay, for there is an enormous amount of work yet to be done before we will be able to take care of the ever-increasing demand for equipment needed in the proclamation of the 11th hour call. Our immediate necessities now are workers' living quarters, boys' and girls' dormitories, workshop, laundry, bakery, kitchen and dining room, children's and old people's homes, garages, etc., etc. Hence, we trust that the friends of present truth will not fail in doing their part, lest they be cursed with the curse of Meres, said the angel of the Lord. Curse ye but early the inhabitants thereof, because they came not to the help of the Lord, to the help of the Lord, against the mighty. Jud 5:23. Let us strive to obtain a reward like that of Jael. He asked water, and she gave him milk, she brought forth butter in a lordly dish. She put her hand to the nail, and her right hand to the workman's hammer. Blessed shall she be above women in the tent. Verses 24-26. Let these things engross the whole mind, the whole attention. Early Writings 118. We have just a little time left in which to get ready, and we should not slow down now, but rather speed up. Some of our brethren who were too zealous in raising their goals for the advancement of the third angel's message to the heathen before the light of present truth found them are now in the advancement of the third angel's message in its loud cry to their own brethren taking a vacation. Are you, brother, are you, sister, doing as much for the closing work for the church as you were while asleep in your Laodiceans at deception? If not, ask yourself, why not? Are you of the class shown to the prophet of whom the Lord said, Thou son of man, the children of thy people still are taking against thee by the wall and in the doors of the houses, and speak one to another, every one to his brother, saying, Come, I pray you, and hear what is the word that cometh forth from the Lord. and they come. Volume 1, Symbolic Code Number 16, page 1. Unto thee as the people commit, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words, but they will not do them, for with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness. And, lo, thou art unto them as a very lovely song of one that hath a pleasant voice, and can play well on an instrument, for they hear thy words, but they do them not. And when this cometh to pass, lo, it will come, then shall they know that a prophet hath been among them. Ezekiel 33:30-33. The light penetrating through darkness. From South Africa, dear brother, I am writing this to inform you how glad I am for the symbolic code news items. I have no way to emphasize my gladness for these codes. For over 10 years I was happy in the truth, but later, as I saw the Church of God departing from the fundamental principles, I felt the Lord was going to do something for us ever. Since I received the copy of this rod, a glimpse of light was in my spiritual eyes in such a way that I could read this wonderful book many times, because I had a desire to understand about the 144,000. I am inviting your united prayers for me and the South African people, and I am glad that today my heart is filled with joy and His sweet spirit, and I want to proclaim this wonderful message to my brethren and sisters in our churches. From Georgia, dear brethren, the Srot message has wonderfully reformed me since the last month. I have corrected my eating and conversation, and have gained a greater love for my brethren. Yes, it makes me sad that only so few are enough interested in their salvation to study the truth for themselves. Too many forget that God is just and merciful. Signed, Page. From Washington, dear brother, as I read the last symbolic code, it was impressed on me of the importance of the paying of the tithe. We have been very slack on paying it, so, after reading the code, I am going to pay it in full right now. Due to the Srot, my belief in S.R. White's writings has been strengthened, and now I have a keen desire for testimonies, and I'm going to buy the full set. Since reading some of her books and the many citations which the Srot contain, I can't help but feel that she is a prophet. Signed, H. Questions and Answers. Question. Srot, Volume 2, page 257 says the former rain is the spirit of prophecy, but desire of ages, p.827, testimonies, for the church, volume 8, page 21, and the great controversy, p.611 say the outpouring of the spirit was in apostolic days. Please harmonize these. Answer. The questioner will find the answer to the above in code number 5, pages 5, 6. Question. Srot, Volume 2, page 47 says Nebuchadnezzar did not yield his heathen heart to God, and page 49 says God in His mercy saved the king. He became a humble child of God. I am unable to see the harmony in these two statements. Answer. God in His mercy saved the king, and not because of Nebuchadnezzar's good deeds. Question. Srot. Volume 2, page 240 explains that Jude 14 and 15 refer to the coming of the Lord to His temple, but testimonies for the church, volume 6, page 392 applies it to the second coming of Christ. How do you harmonize these and Malachi 3:1-3? Answer. Jude 14 and 15 are explained in Srot, volume 2, page 162-241. However, we may add, the perfect fulfillment of this scripture embraces a period. Volume 1, Symbolic Code Number 16, page 2. Of time in which three judicial events are to expire, namely, first, the investigative judgment for the dead as he came to his heavenly temple in 1844. Second, the investigative judgment for the living, that is soon to take place. Third, Christ's second coming, and the judgment during the millennium, and at last the final execution of His judgment, after the millennium. It takes all these events to perfectly fulfill the words, to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Jude 15. Malachi 3 first applies, as a type to the purification of the earthly temple, in the days of Christ. John 2:14, 15, but the direct application finds its fulfillment in the antitype, that is, in the purification of the church, when he comes to his earthly temple church, to purify the sons of Levi, the ministry, the 144,000. After this he comes for the investigative judgment of the living to his heavenly temple, to blot out their sins. See the Shepherd's Rod, Volume 2, pages 240-246, 214-221. Question, are the 144,000, after being sealed, to go and kill all the others in the SDA church who failed to receive the seal? Answer, the slaying of the tares in the church is plainly foretold that this work is not man's duty to perform. The prophet Ezekiel, in vision, was shown that the angels who bear the slaughter weapons are the ones whom the Lord commissioned to slay utterly old and young, both mates, and little children, and women, but to come not near any man upon whom is the mark. Ezekiel 9:6. The Lord makes this destruction of the tares still plainer by his parabolic illustration, saying, let both grow together until the harvest, and in the time of harvest I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. So shall it be at the end of the world, the angels shall come forth, and sever the wicked from among the just. Matthew 13:30, 14:9. Question, please explain the last verses of Revelation 6. If the seventh seal is the purification, what takes place under the sixth seal to cause kings, captains, every bondman, every freeman to fear the wrath of the Lamb, to the extent that they hide themselves in the dens and in the rocks? Answer. The answer to the above is found in the Srod, Volume 2, pages 175-180. Question, if Jeremiah 25:31 takes place at the second coming of Christ, how can he plead with all flesh? Answer, this question is answered by Isaiah 66:16, for there, too, is stated that he will plead with all flesh, and the September number of the code, page 7, proves that the Lord begins to plead with all flesh, in the proclamation of the sealing message, and the fulfillment of Ezekiel 9. In the church, and will end at the close of probation, when the third angel's message shall have been proclaimed in all the world for a witness unto all nations. Therefore, by the manifestation of God's judgments, and by the preaching of the message in the time of the loud cry, in all the world for a witness unto all nations, he pleads with all flesh. Question, what do you advise as to the education of our children, especially when the church school is closed to them? Answer, if the children are rejected by the church school, then, as there is nothing else one can do, the next best thing is to send them to the public school until the Lord gives us further light on this subject. However, those who take the responsibility to turn a child out from school just because the child, according to his conscience, would rather obey God and the traditions of men, the Lord says, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and he cast into the sea, and that he should offend one of these little ones. Lew 17:2. Question, a number of times the SDA ministers have quoted the rod as saying that after the slaughter, the rods think they will have possession of the denomination, including the churches, institutions, etc. I have seen nothing definite regarding this, and have always been of the opinion that the 144,000 would simply inherit the truths and the message. It seems improbable that the law would allow those left to have any of the material things, since most of them will have been disfellowshipped, and would we want them? Do you have anything definite on this? Answer. These institutions legally belong to the members of the SDA denomination, and therefore, when those who do not receive the seal. Volume 1, Symbolic Code, Number 16, page 3. of God and therefore its fall under the slaughter weapons of the angels, naturally the ones who are left will be the legal owners of all the denominational assets, and as only those who have the seal will be left, there will be no controversy about the legal ownership of the institutions. Though many will be disfellowshipped, this would have no bearing as long as we stay with the denomination, whether they recognize us as members or not. This condition will prove that the membership is split in factions, and, as one faction passes away, the other that remains would naturally constitute the denomination and control all its institutions. Moreover, the ministerial faction has neither legal right nor religious ground upon which to disfellowship any of us, for we have done nothing to give them the right to cast us out. If we even now went to law, we could win back our membership, for we stand true to the fundamental principles upon which the institutions were erected and the denomination founded, but, as they have departed from them and are refusing to get back, on one hand by their conduct they will prove to the legal authorities that they are unlawfully taking possession of the denomination, while on the other hand we by our good behavior will prove to be the legal owners of it. Hence, denying us membership without any legal or religious ground does not make them right and us wrong. Question: does not this statement, another message of warning and instruction was to be given to the church, the great controversy, page 424, refer to the loud cry, Revelation 18? Answer: this warning and instruction, according to the paragraph that follows, is in connection with the purification of the church, and it is this warning and instruction that bring the loud cry, Revelation 18. Question: Revelation 8:3 says the angel offered incense with the prayers of all saints, but the Strad says, note the prayer is offered for all saints. Why, for? Was it not the prayers of all saints instead of for all saints? Answer: the Strad is endeavoring to explain that the angel offered the saints' prayers with the incense, that is, he takes the prayers of the saints and in their behalf offers them with the incense before the throne. Thus the prayers of the saints are offered brought by the angel before the throne for all the saints, and not that the angel himself prayed for all the saints. Question: is Brother Hoyt paying for every convert brought to the Strad from the SDA denomination? Answer: yes, Brother Hoyt is paying for every convert, but not as purported. It costs something to carry this work and to reach the people, and therefore Brother Hoyt is paying something to accomplish this great work. However, if the questioner wants to know if Brother Hoyt is paying so much per head to anyone who brings in a convert, we say, number those who go to work by giving studies and creating interest, he helps them with their expenses to the amount of success they have. Therefore, this divine principle gives to every believer an opportunity to go to work in the Lord's vineyard. This rule leaves without an excuse everyone who is able to go to work, provides the hire for every worthy laborer, and sifts out those who may be following for the leaves and fishes. Quickly find your place, my brother and my sister, for the day is far spent, and the night cometh when no man can work. Question: in the study on one taken and the other left, Matthew 13:49 is understood by some to apply also to the literal coming of Christ. If this be so, then how are we to apply the statement on page 24 of tract number 1, the Dardanelles, of the Bible, which says, this separation also applies to the purification of the church, for the bad ones were taken away from among the good, and not the good from among the bad. The bad that were in the net church were thrown out, and the good ones left. Answer: it is not making a double application, but is stated because of what is said on page 23 of tract number 1, and is merely showing that the two parables are referring to the same event, the purification of the church, which is more clearly described on page 25. There are no wicked among the just at the time Christ comes in the clouds, for the saints are then in companies separate from all worldlings. See Early Writings, 282, 283. Question: is Brother Houdef paying for the land on Mount Carmel, from the tithe. From the remarks published on this subject in the August Code, pages 2-7, in answer to a charge against him, it seems that he made no denial, but rather agreed, and I do not mean to say that he is wrong, but I wish to know the truth of the matter. Volume 1 Symbolic Code Number 16 Page 4. Answer: the tract of land on which Mount Carmel Center stands was purchased last April, and is to be used in the work of carrying the sealing message in the ingathering of the 144,000 the first fruits, and it may be also used for the ingathering of the great multitude the second fruits, and for caring for the worthy poor, aged, and disabled who have not only accepted the message of the true witness to the Laodiceans, but who are also walking in its penetrating light, as revealed by the Srad. The financial end of this most needed enterprise is made possible by the use of all the money derived from the sales of the Srad volumes Profit and Principal, since published, also some of the tithe, with the remainder being borrowed. The questioner has doubtless heard many fairy tales about the Srad and its great work, for we find that most of the people, even those who claim to believe that the teaching of the Srad is inspired, are inclined to question, criticize, find fault, rather than to help make this charitable institution a fitting place for God's presence, and for a blessing to His people the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind of the streets and lanes of the city, and said to say that those who have done the least to help us with their money are the first to find fault, and the most zealous that their plans and ideas should be followed in this closing work, for the church the laying of the foundation for the finishing of the great closing work, for the whole world. They are saying by their actions, let me tell you, how did each your message testimonies to ministers, 476, notwithstanding that the Spirit of God has forewarned them in the following plain words, there will be those among us who will always want to control the work of God, to dictate even what movements shall be made when the work goes forward under the direction of the angel, who joins the third angel, in the message to be given to the world. Testimonies to Ministers, page 300. Those who fall in this temptation and pride of opinion are fulfilling Luke 19:14. At this time when Christ is taking the reins in His own hands, they are, by their actions, sending a message to Him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. We would not keep our friends in darkness concerning our work, and to relieve them from overtaxing their minds, we say, this is the best we have. It has cost them nothing, and if it is not the thing they are looking for, they need not overtax their minds as to how this great work will be carried on, and whether it shall prosper or fail, for they can neither keep it up nor tear it down. It will either stand or fall on its own merits, and we shall neither do nor say anything to harm them if they should choose to depart and walk with us no more. Part 2, that thou mayest prosper and be in health continued from Septissue. One of the most common causes for various diseases is constipation. Those who desire to keep well should not let a day pass by with less than 2 good bowel movements. It is better to take any drug laxative than to allow the system to get filled with poison. However, one need not use harmful drugs when he can obtain a remedy which will be practically harmless. An enema is a good colon eliminator in an emergency. As defective elimination can be corrected by a proper diet and bending exercise, there is no reason why, at least in most cases, that the normal functions of the bowels should not be restored. A daily use of a little fruit almost of any kind, whether dried or fresh, will aid to relieve this condition. One kind of fruit might be an effectual aid to one person, while it would not be to another. Therefore, the individual should exercise his judgment by personal experience as to the kind of fruit he should use. Some foods that are adapted for use at one season or in one climate are not suited to another. So there are different foods best suited for persons in different occupations. Ministry of Healing, page 297. When the fruit is unavailable or too high priced, raw vegetables such as finely chopped cabbage, carrots, turnips, green corn, etc., which have been put through a food chopper, if possible, may take their place. Cooked or raw greens are also beneficial. Several glasses. Volume 1, Symbolic Code Number 16, page 5. Of fresh or diluted canned milk will bring the desired results for some individuals. All white flour products, pastries, and confections should be positively avoided. Honey will take the place of sweets. The use of bran may at first be a good eliminator, but it has the tendency to be habit-forming, and at last becomes ineffective, and leaves the individual in worse condition, and in the beginning, and besides this, a sensitive stomach cannot handle it. Soft, sticky mushes eaten as breakfast foods may be sparingly used when enough roughage is taken along with them and when effective elimination does not prevail. Though nearly all nut meats are more or less constipating, when good judgment is exercised they can with wisdom be used with success, and vegetarians will find them so essential that it is almost impossible to maintain health without them. Nevertheless, there being a highly concentrated food, it is very easy to overeat of them, thus bringing in more harm upon the system than by a proportionate overconsumption of more bulky articles of less food value. For an example, if walnuts are used at each meal, two good-sized ones are all the average individual can stand. When using peanut butter, 2 level teaspoons are sufficient. If these nut meats are used only once a day, 1/2 of the above daily ration is all the system can successfully handle. This of course depends much on the richness and the food value that the meal contains. For some individuals even this amount is too much and will bring headache or other disagreeable effects to which nature resorts as a warning against such transgressions. It is not safe for one to try to maintain health by using the above-mentioned articles, without the legumes such as beans, peas, lentils, etc., except they be replaced if necessary, by a substitute. Dairy products should not be used at all, save for the time being, milk, cream, and cottage cheese. Eggs are harmful to children and to youth, but may be sparingly used by others, when necessary. This, however, is not to be understood to mean that eggs, when used now and then in foods such as griddle cakes, not regular pancakes, rice, etc., should not be eaten by children and youth. We should not forget that the human machine needs a lubricant to perform its daily task. Vegetarians should have this constantly in mind and should use a little vegetable oil in nearly all foods. Olive oil is the best. However, other good oils can be used. We are not definitely clear about cottonseed oils and imitation butter fats margarines. It is safest to avoid them. It is not necessary to use butter spread on bread, but those who are in the habit of doing so, and who think they cannot get along without it, can use thick cream. However, plain bread is more healthful. One of the prevailing disorders of our day is gastritis, especially among us. The sickness, as well as many others, is a warning to God's people that it is the result of neglecting to live the principles of health reform, and that since the time the light on this subject came to us as a people, there has been a curse resting upon us. This stomach disorder is common at all ages and is caused principally by a faulty diet. Overeating, wrong combinations, poor cooking, spoiled food, etc. Meals in succession consisting of fruit, such as apples, grapes, oranges, watermelons, etc., without any other food which contains some sort of a lubricant, when continued for some time, will bring this condition. Also, raw root vegetables may bring the same effect, but a little peanut butter with each meal will in most cases counteract the evil. This disease is often brought about by starvation through irregularity, that is, as the stomach is constantly endeavoring to grind or digest the food by one wall working against the other, when left empty for some time, or a number of times now, and then, the constant friction will irritate the lining and cause inflammation, bring pain, sickly feeling, belching of gas, etc. Soon after a meal there is a relief, but as the absence of gastric juices and the abnormal or inflamed condition of the stomach retards digestion, fermentation sets in, and the trouble is renewed. If and when the food and the gas leave the stomach, there should be relief, but just then this attrition starts anew between the inflamed walls, and instead of feeling better and improving, the trouble grows worse if food is not taken. Sometimes this condition is brought about by an excessive flow of gastric juices, produced by overstimulated secretional glands, working on an empty stomach. Hence, the only remedy for this illness is one that will heal the lining, and the only measure which will do this is on the one hand, not to leave the stomach go empty, and, on the other, to eat easily digested. Volume 1 Symbolic Code Number 16 Page 6. Nutritious foods, which will act as a lubricant to prevent further irritation in the case of attrition, and to reduce the flow of acid in the case of abnormal gland secretion. Under this condition, one of the best articles of food one can take is a half pint or less of warm cream, not hot, to which has been added some milk, and the beaten yolk of an egg, with some salt, if desired. This will act as a healing ointment, at the same time supplying the necessary minerals and elements for the upkeep of the body. If the condition of the stomach is very bad, even this easily digested and soothing food may not set well. However, as there is nothing better that we can prescribe at this time, and as the stomach must not be left empty to continue wearing itself out, the patient may take in less of this liquid food at time, but precaution must be exercised that, just as soon as it leaves the stomach, not before nor long after, more of this liquid be taken, and when the digestive organs are capable of taking care of this article of food. A slice or two of bread, well and slowly toasted, but not burned, may be added. Well, Brown's Wee Back does not contain the food value. Cottage cheese made of cream is excellent too. Buttermilk, yogurt, and sour milk are also good. After the stages reached where these foods are well digested, it is advisable to try a glass of fruit juice half an hour before meals. As improvement is gained, other foods may be gradually added to this basic diet, but they should be such as will not revive the old trouble, and of very small quantities, until there is evidence that the system can handle these articles in normal quantities. Those who have this trouble, please inform us of the results after giving this treatment a fair trial. But remember that one bad combination, one wrong eating, will either entirely or partly bring back the old trouble. Therefore, great care must be exercised as to when, what, how, and how much one shall eat. Never take a chance. Always leave the table while you are yet hungry. As stomach disorders are brought about by numerous causes, generally transgressions, it is impossible to describe each condition or prescribe one remedy for every case. Therefore, each should try to correct his habits and eat that which best agrees with him. To maintain the good results gained, do not start trailing again over the old road of careless habits. A little peanut butter, to which a proportionate amount of honey is added if desired, on a slice of whole wheat bread, at each meal, especially when the meal consists of fruit or raw vegetables, will help prevent this gastric complaint coming back. Never use roasted peanut butter, if you can obtain the raw, which you will find more delicious and healthful. Peanut butter cooked with grains or roasts makes the food article too rich and too heavy. Hence, it is well to avoid such combinations. The best foods are those which are native and which come with the seasons of the year. For those who are troubled by excessive gastric juice, a glass or two full of fresh water taken before meals will be found helpful. But in cases where this digestive fluid is deficient, it is best not to drink until an hour after meals. By experimenting, you can diagnose your own case. It is impossible to make an unvarying rule to regulate everyone's habits, and no one should think himself a criterion for all. Not all can eat the same things. Foods that are palatable and wholesome to one person may be distasteful and even harmful to another. Some cannot use milk, while others thrive on it. Some persons cannot digest peas and beans, others find them wholesome. For some the coarser grain preparations are good food, while others cannot use them. Those who live in new countries or in poverty-stricken districts, where fruits and nuts are scarce, should not be urged to exclude milk and eggs from their dietary. Some are continually anxious lest their food, however simple and healthful, may hurt them. To these let me say, do not think that your food will injure you, do not think about it at all. Eat according to your best judgment, and when you have asked the Lord to bless the food for the strengthening of your body, believe that He hears your prayer, and be at rest. Ministry of Healing, pages 319, 320, 321. Do not forget that your teeth are in your mouth and not in your stomach. Think not that your stomach can take care of a bucket-sized meal. Remember that it holds less than a quart and must have a little space by which to maintain its peristalsis. Do not expect your system. Volume 1, Symbolic Code Number 16, page 7. To run without breaking down, if you neglect to keep it clean and lubricated. It is absurd to entertain the idea that your fine mechanism can continue working on substances which contain no energy. Do not leave it dry. Take in plenty of fresh water, lest by getting stagnant you pollute the atmosphere. For a pleasant association with your friends, the pure juice of two lemons taken once a week on an empty stomach will scour your body on the inside, and a bucketful of hot water and soap will polish it on the outside. Pure lemon juice at first may bring the same distress as when applied to an open sore, therefore only a little at first should be tried in water before taking a full dose. When in distress caused by gas, relief may be obtained perhaps in an hour's time by lying down on the stomach. Brush your teeth after each meal and remove all the food from between your teeth to prevent bad odor and decay, for food ferments. In fact, in less than 4 hours fermentation sets in, and the acid created by it immediately begins to dissolve the enamel. Unclean, yellow-looking teeth, covered with tartar, surely do not represent the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, whose garments are whiter than snow. Pumice powder mixed with soap and toothpaste will polish your teeth, or you may go to a dentist and have them cleaned. If you do your own teeth cleaning, do not use pumice powder, except when necessary, for it is hard on the enamel. Disinfect your toothbrush at least once a week, lest you contract diarrhea. Salt sprinkled over the toothbrush is one of the best antiseptics. Let your brush always hang outside in the sunshine. Always keep your hands and fingernails clean. Clean up, brother. Clean up, sister. For we are going home. Those who neglect to conform to these health principles need not think if they are sick, or if they get sick, that God is going to work a miracle to restore them to health, and should not ask us to pray for them. If He should heal them, most people would take it as an evidence that He has approved of their transgressions against nature. To be continued. The fight with appetite. If with Jesus in fiery chariot you would ride, you must put your feet upon your human pride. Then you may sit as a king by His side. The song of Moses and the Lamb. Learn and sing. When Joshua conquered his stubborn foes as he entered Canaan, so the story goes, he said, "Put your feet upon your enemy's neck, for God will help you their kingdom to wreck." So we who believe the shepherd's rod must have faith in the power of the living God. If we conquer all the foes we meet, we must make straight paths for lame feet. Let us not forget pride caused Lucifer's fall. He will seek to hinder those who heed the 11th hour call. For well he knows who will fill the vacant place. 'Twill be men and women who are saved by grace. We will find now our hardest fight to overcome our perverted appetite. So let us put on the whole armor of God if we would not sleep beneath the sod. If of our bodies we take not proper care, then God cannot hear or answer our prayer. He who burns from the law of physical salvation cannot be a channel of divine revelation. For only by eating and drinking for God's glory shall we be permitted to tell the final gospel story, and thus prove to the sincere who believe in God that we have found the truth in the Shepherd's Rod. Volume 1, Symbolic Code Number 16, page 8. For if we in every act glorify our Savior and God, He will glorify us as messengers of the Shepherd's Rod. H. W. Jones, Pedestrian Poet. Written to be read on Sabbath, October 5, 1935 at Mount Carmel Center, where truth can enter. Important notices. If there be any of our brethren who wish to do something for Mount Carmel, but who for lack of other means have thought to donate some farm products, such as beans, lentils, peas, etc., we wish to inform them that we would be very happy to receive any such imperishable foodstuffs. Because some of our brethren are writing for a third volume of The Shepherd's Rod, we herein announce that the third volume is being published in the form of tracts, and are sent out free to all SDAs. Thus far there are 5 such tracts. However, we expect a 6th one by the end of the year. We are endeavoring to have the new items in the code as accurate as possible, but this cannot be done without the cooperation of all those who send in reports of news and experiences, etc. State every item of interest as explicitly as the English language can make it. Those who are corresponding with us or receiving literature, if moved from their present location, please inform this office immediately of your new address. The field workers should not neglect this, nor fail to remind their companies to do so. All mail for Mount Carmel should be addressed in care of the Universal Publishing Association. All monies, tithes and offerings, when sent by mail, should be made out to Mrs. F. Charbonneau. And remember that the SRAD headquarters home office is no longer in California, but at Mount Carmel Center, Waco, Texas. Let all new converts to the SRAD inform us how the message found them. Though of little importance this may seem to be, yet we, who have to contend with many office problems, will consider it a great favor. Thank you. Our United Prayer on Friday evening, 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 6 p.m. Mountain Standard Time, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, in behalf of our brethren who are in darkness regarding present truth, should be faithfully observed by all concerned. Volume 1, Symbolic Code Number 16, page 9.